each of you through God's word and through the Holy Spirit to do the work of the ministry. That's the body of Christ. And each one of us once was that man that we talked about last week with leprosy that needed to come to Jesus and be cleansed and healed. But after we come to that point where we contact with Jesus and we are saved and we become a Christian, now we are to be the vessel or the instrument for Jesus to touch the lives of others. That's just the way it works. Doesn't mean that everybody has to pastor a church. Doesn't mean that everybody has to get on a plane and go to a foreign country. God will start using you right where you are. We talked about it last week. It all starts really within your home. Maybe God wants to start you to minister inside your home, and then He'll show you who else to minister to. But today, the passage is going to teach us what is true. But it's also going to give us a little warning about falling away from Christ, or maybe rejecting Christ, or maybe even backsliding, is like what we like to call a Christian who falls back into sin a little bit. So Matthew chapter 26, verse 31 through 35. Let's read that. Once your pastor finds it. All right, here we go. It says, on the way, Jesus told them, he's talking to his disciples, tonight all of you will desert me. For the scriptures say, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. Peter declared, even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you. Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny three times that you even know me. No, Peter insisted. I love Peter. Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you. And all the other disciples vowed the same. Before we get into it, let's pray. Father, we just, Lord, we thank you again for the reading of your word. We thank you that it encourages us, that it teaches us what's true, that it leads us to you. And God, we thank you for the warnings that your word gives us, and even the times where it points out what's wrong, because in all of it, we know that it so will come back to you. That's what it's there for so we can be ministers for you, so we can't be ministers if we're backsliding and we're falling away and we're denying you and we're living our own way. We can't live to our full potential. And so, Lord, I just pray today that we would just accept your word and that we would let you work in our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. One of the greatest convictions, one of the greatest responsibilities of a Christian is to go throughout the world and to warn the world of sin, of its sin, and the consequences of the sin. Now that is, you want to be unpopular? Go warn people about their sin, right? Now what I didn't say is you go judge the world for their sin. All right, so it's in a loving way. You hate the sin that's destroying their life, but you love the person. And you say, look, I'm telling you this because I used to be there. It might not be the same situation, but listen to what I have found and how I have been delivered from what I used to be tangled up in. But see, yet in the midst of doing this, we also have to be warned of our own sin and its consequences. That's right. You see, as you all know, no one, believers, non-believers alike, are removed from their sinful nature. I don't care how long you've been a Christian, something still inside of you wants to do whatever sin that you long after or that you used to mess with or whatever. There could be something new, but we still struggle with that sinful nature. The difference between a non-believer and a believer, though, is we have something different. We have something that a non-believer doesn't have, and we should want them to have it, and that's that of a spiritual nature, because we have the Holy Spirit. They now live in the Spirit while they are living in the flesh. Therefore, every believer has to be warned. No longer, it's not just about going out and warning the world. We have to warn ourselves and we have to warn each other. If I see a brother or a brother sees me or I see a sister sees me in Christ falling away, it's their obligation to come to me and say, Anthony, dude, I love you and I want you to know something. What you're doing is wrong and it's not good for you. You need to come back. And you know what? Even if I don't like it and I cuss you out and I leave, you did what you were supposed to do, and God will use that. I'm not going to cuss you out of it. I promise. Although Peter promised, and it didn't work out so well for him. But we're all capable of falling into sin. And so that's what this Christ is warning his disciples about. He's telling them, like, look, don't be overconfident that you can't fall too, that you won't deny me as well. There's two main things that's on my heart this morning. There's so much that could be said about the shepherd being struck and the rooster crowing, all that. But this is two little things that God laid on my heart. And number one is this. There's a prediction that everyone, at one point or another, will fall away. Okay? Number two, there's a claim of overconfidence in ourselves. All right, so just kind of think about that for a second. Okay, everybody will fall, but also there's this claim and this warning that it's a little dangerous. It's really dangerous when you're overconfident in yourself. So look back at verses 31 and 32 in our text, and we're going to go through it. It says, on the way, Jesus told his disciples, he told them, tonight all of you will desert me, for the scriptures say. Now the King James Version, I like to read in all different kinds of versions, it says this. It says, because of me. Jesus says, you will fall away because of me. And I said, well, that's interesting. I looked that up and we're going to talk about it. But he goes on to say this. He says, God will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I have been raised from the dead, I will go ahead of you to Galilee and meet you there. So here we see that first point. Very simple sermon today. That all will fall away. All will stumble. All will fall back into sin. Now, it doesn't say some will. It doesn't say all may or they might do it. It says all. Jesus said all of you will desert me tonight. His closest followers. And he told them each one of them would fall away. And if you look at these two verses we just read, I think you'll see that Christ gives two main reasons that we fall away. Number one is this. He said, in King James, he said, because of him. So what does that mean? I really had to dig into that. And I'm like, why would Jesus say, because of me, you will fall away and you will desert me. You will fall into sin. Why is that? Well, when anyone faces Christ, we have that. If you've never had that, you're being dishonest. Or maybe even after you're a believer, you still question who Jesus is. Like, is he really who he is? Am I really saved? Because how can God just forgive me? Why would God do that for me? Why would God give his one and only son for me on the cross when he knows that I keep messing up? Well, I believe it means this. We stumble over his identity. John chapter 6, verse 60 through 63 should give us some encouragement, because even many of his disciples felt the same way. It said, many of his disciples said, this is very hard to understand. How can anyone accept it? Jesus was aware that his disciples were complaining, and he said to them, does this offend you? I love this. Then what will you think if you see the Son of Man ascend into heaven again? The Spirit alone gives eternal life. Human effort accomplishes nothing. And the very words I have spoken to you are spirit and life. It also means this. We stumble over the cross. All right, because of Jesus, we stumble over the cross. So what does that mean? 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 21 through 23 says this. Since God in his wisdom saw it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching. See, there's hope for your pastor today. To save those who believe. It is foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say that it's nonsense. See, a lot of times we stumble over the cross. And lastly, we stumble over the cross that he calls us each to bear, don't we? Oh, we want to be saved, but we love the cross because Jesus gave his life for us on there. But the part where Luke chapter 9, verse 23, where it says, then he said to the crowds, if any of you want to be my followers, you must give up your own way and take up, what is it, church? Your cross daily and follow me. Doesn't say once a year. Doesn't say on Sunday mornings. Daily, follow me. Take up your cross daily and follow me. You see, when Christ was arrested, and we're going to get into that very shortly in the coming weeks. See, the apostles no doubt questioned who Jesus was, right? They were human. Why? That's why they deserted him. Why didn't he use his mighty power? If he was the Messiah, why didn't he overthrow those people that were spitting on him and whipping him and all those things? Why didn't he set up a new kingdom on earth for Israel if he was the Messiah? No doubt. You don't think they didn't doubt who Jesus was and stumble over who Christ really was? Everything they had hoped for, everything that they had left everything to follow, the man that they had put all their hopes in, the guy who they saw do all these miracles, the guy who even gave them the power to do miracles, was arrested, beaten, spit on, and they watched him hang on the cross, struggling to breathe until he died. Unrecognizable, because he'd been beaten so bad. Their hopes were hanging upon a cross. And this is why Jesus gave them this prediction that we find ourselves reading today. I believe it with all my heart that he knew that even though they may not understand what was going on, he knows today that you might not understand everything that's going on in your life. You might not understand everything in the Bible, but he's working it for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. That's what my Bible tells me. Even though they may fall away and desert him and deny him, he knew that once that he was raised from the grave and he appeared before them, that they would remember these words. They'd say, he told us he was going to do this. He told us that we would do this. He really is who he says he is. He knew that in the long run, their faith would grow stronger because all that they would witness and all that they would go through was all to build their faith and to help them to grow more and more like him. So even though they would fall away, even though they would stumble, Jesus foretold this to help them return and to become even stronger and stronger and stronger. Church, this is why we find ourselves reading God's Word. This is the purpose why we read. We don't read God's Word to make him happy and check it off a list and say, okay, I did my Christian duty for the day. We go to it so we can be strengthened, so we can go to read the predictions, we can read the promises, we can read all the things that we need to go through this life and all the struggles that we go through. When we read the predictions, when we read the truth about God, when we read about his grace and his mercy, when we read about even his discipline, we grow stronger in our faith. Even if we stumble, even when we stumble, we have the Holy Spirit. We have the Word of God to bring us right back and to remind us of that grace and that mercy, to help us return to God. So that was all the first thing that these two verses said. So here's number two. The second thing Jesus says is he will cause his followers to stumble is this. They will fall away because Christ is rejected. Right? Because Christ is rejected. Think about the disciples. They saw Christ rejected by the crowds, right? When the crowds rejected Christ, the disciples, no doubt, they felt threatened. Remember the little girl said, hey, I know you. You're one of Jesus' followers. And the whole crowd looking, he's like, whoa, no. I don't know who you're talking about. You must have me mistaken with somebody else. They were filled with fear. They turned away and they deserted that they even denied knowing him. You see, it's in our human nature to want to be accepted by the crowd. Even if you're one of those extrovert kind of people and you say, no, I don't follow the crowd, it's natural for you to walk into this place and want to feel welcomed, right? And you want to feel a part of the crowd. No matter what the crowd is, whoever is around you, you don't want to be the outcast, the one that's rejected. But a true believer will experience this in different areas in your life over and over again if you stand upon God's word and if you stand up for Christ. You're going to experience it. I remember in 2020 when the height of all the mess that was going on in this country, I remember being, your pastor was standing on a riot line with a bunch of gear. I never prayed so hard in my life. I'm going to tell you something. There is nothing more intimidating. Nothing has ever scared me in my life like seeing an angry crowd come down the street at me. It didn't matter if they had weapons. It didn't matter. You realize all of a sudden I can't do anything against this crowd. It is the worst feeling. So it's easy to look at the disciples and say, oh man, why did they turn away? They were just like us. They were human. But a true believer will experience this if we stand up for God's word. In fact, once we decide to follow Jesus, we have to remember this. We don't belong to the crowd. We don't belong to the world. We belong to Christ. Amen. So first thing we got to understand, do you really believe that you belong to Christ? Do you really believe that? John chapter 15, verse 19, Jesus says this. The world would love you as one of its own if you belong to it. But you are no longer part of the world. I chose you to come out of the world, so it hates you. That's so simple, right? It's so simple, but we still don't like it. And sometimes it'll cause us to stumble. Because we're like, I don't know if I want to be sold out for that. I don't know if I want the world to hate me. So Christ told his followers that for one reason or another, all will fall away. But remember, even then, even when we know we shouldn't do what we know we shouldn't do, and we do it anyways, even though we know we did it before and it didn't work out for us, and we go back to it again and we do it and we give into it anyways, anytime we fear rejection and we let Christ down, anytime we let fear creep in and keep us from stepping out into a new ministry or sharing with somebody or encouraging somebody or walking by faith, we have to remember that God already has a remedy. He already has a remedy that's already been it's already taken place. It's already in place right now for us in the New Testament church. And it's called this: the resurrection. Amen. All right, somebody needs to hear that today. The remedy is the resurrection. The resurrection of Christ. Look at verse 32. Look back at verse 32. And we don't have it up on the screen, but look back at verse 32. It says, in our context for today, it says this. He tells his disciples that after the resurrection, he will go before them. Christ was telling them this. He was saying they were going to come back to him after the resurrection. Look, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be there. You're going to come back to me. He was giving them that prediction. Despite them falling away for a while, despite their stumble, Jesus would accept them. Even better yet, he says he would be there waiting on them. Isn't that a sweet spot? Somebody, believer, needs to hear that today, that Jesus is waiting for you to come back to him. We're going to go back to that, but he has gone before you. He knew you would stumble and fall the moment that you accepted him. The moment that he died on the cross and you were on his mind, when he gave his life on the cross, he knew that Anthony Clore would still stumble and fall, still desert him. And he went before him and he's just ready for you to come back. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 13 says this: people who conceal their sins will not prosper. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. And that's from the wisest man that ever lived. Right there. And it was God's wisdom that he had. But if they confess and turn from them, they will receive mercy. Does anything about that seem complicated? Or like, you know, you have to have a degree in theology to see? No. God kept it very simple for us. But yet we stumble over it. It's plain and simple. And all of us are going to fall away from time to time. But Christ wants us to turn from our sin. It's a thing we call repentance. The Bible calls repentance. Turn around. Go the other way. Stop following a sin. Didn't mean to point at you when I said sin. And then go over there and you go to Jesus. That's it. That's all you do. I need a point on the wall. You know, like, turn from your sin and head to Jesus. Look at verse 33 through 35 with me as we continue. And we'll get back to that. He says this: Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. You will deny that you even know me." Sorry. "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die, I will never deny you." And all the other disciples vowed the same. You see, when we've seen Jesus give this prediction that all will stumble, that all will fall away, we saw that. But here in these three verses, I think we see the problem in one of the most dangerous things about, or that cause us to fall away, and that's this: being overconfident in ourselves. Well, I don't need anybody to help me. I can do what I need to do, right? That's a little thing called pride. Peter, God bless him, right? And what would you say about Peter nowadays? You say, "Oh, bless his heart. Oh, bless his heart, Peter. You just can't get it right." He wasn't perfect. He often said things that came back to bite him, right? He often did things that were a little rash and everything. But I love Peter. I was talking to somebody this morning about how I look up to him. I look up to Peter because so often we look at him and we say, man, you know, Jesus uses even the mess ups, even the ones that screw up all the time. He uses them. But I look at Peter in a different way, maybe because I'm just like him. I look up to him because he wasn't perfect, but you got to give him this. He was devoted to Christ. Amen. He was sold out for Christ. He was the one that was willing. Everybody always says, well, yeah, if he got distracted. He looked at the waves, but all the other disciples stayed in the boat. Peter got out and started walking on the water. Peter was the one who cut off the guy's ear when they came to arrest Jesus. That's my kind of guy right there. He's like, oh, no, 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 no. He pulls out the sword and he cut a dude's ear off. And Jesus had to go back and be like, whoa, sorry about that, buddy, and put it back on. You know what I mean? But here he gives us another lesson to relate to. Sometimes you can learn lessons from people and you got to thank God for them or what not to do, right? And he said, thank you, God, that I got to learn that. Peter was overconfident in himself. He said, everyone else might desert you, but I never will. I won't do it. Even if I have to die, I will never deny you. You see, Peter's overconfidence was caused by four things, and we're going to go through it really quick, and then we're going to close. Number one is this. He compared himself to others. That's what he said. He said, even if all the rest of those people, if they do it, I won't do it. That's a dangerous place to be. Boy, don't we like to do this. Even if it's not out loud, even if it's in our mind to justify our sin. Well, I may be sinning like this, but I'm not as bad as the person sitting on the end of the pew over here, or that person over here, or my neighbor that lives down the street, or my coworker. I'm not as bad as them, so at least I'm not that bad. So I must be okay, right? At least I'm not as bad as this person or that person. Peter thought of himself as being stronger, or maybe more committed to Christ than the others. And maybe he was in certain areas. But that didn't mean that he was exempt from falling into pride. And I think that's what you see here. He was a little proud. He said, no, I'm not going to give in. And I don't know what the Bible says. That's a sin. God hates pride. He hates our pride. We just read it. There's nothing in the human wisdom that can set us right before God. Number two, Peter's overconfidence was caused by him being blind to the cross. So what do I mean by that? Of course, the cross hasn't happened yet, but Jesus had already told him that it was going to happen. He had told his disciples, we've talked about it several times as we've been going through Matthew, where he predicts the Son of Man will be killed, but on the third day he will be raised. The Son of Man is going to suffer. They're going to crucify him on a cross. They had already heard all these things. At one point, Peter said, oh Lord, don't say such things. And Jesus rebuked him and said, Satan, get behind me. You're looking at it from a worldly point of view. I'm trying to tell you how God looks at things. But Peter just didn't see that happening. He refused to believe something that he didn't want to hear. So often our overconfidence, you know, we say, no, I'm blind to the cross because I don't want to believe. I don't want to believe that my sin is so disgusting to God that he had to give his son on the cross. We're blind to the cross. We're blind to the cross. The world is as well. It offends us. It was just too much to grasp, and Peter refused to see the cross. Number three, Peter, his overconfidence was caused by really not knowing himself. He wasn't honest with himself. He was too proud to acknowledge his own weakness. I remember, still there sometimes, but I remember before I really gave my life to Christ, I remember before I really started getting into the Word and finding myself in the Word and letting God's Holy Spirit start to have some kind of control over my life, I remember thinking and maybe lying to myself to the point where I was like, no, I'm good. I got a good job. I got a family. God's blessing me. I must be good. But I didn't really know myself. Until I found myself in Christ. I didn't really know myself. Church, this is a dangerous place to be. This is a very dangerous place to be. In fact, this still happens today. I read all the time. I'm on you know, social media, different groups that I follow, on church leadership. I read all the time. And it always likes to find, it's like a police officer when he gets arrested. You know, he could get arrested for stealing a piece of candy, but they're going to make front page paper. Yep. Right? A pastor falls into sin and gets into trouble. Front page. But I read all the time where pastors fall into sin. The very things that they preached against week after week, they fall into it. Peter was a strong man of faith, but he was too proud to acknowledge his own weakness. Number four, lastly, his overconfidence was caused by the fact that he simply didn't listen to Christ. You ever been there before? I'm there all the time. I said, God, Jesus is telling me, Anthony, don't do that. Don't say that. You're going to regret it. Don't spend a little time with me. Don't get so busy that you don't have time to spend time in the Word with me. And I said, well, maybe later, God, maybe later. Before you know it, my week's gone down the tubes and I'm thinking, what in the world happened? I didn't listen to Christ. Jesus was trying to warn them of the weakness of their human hearts. He knew them. He knew how they were. But Peter wouldn't listen. He denied the fact that he was weak in the flesh. Church, we're never to be overconfident in ourselves. Everything that we do has to point back to the cross and say the only good in me is the righteousness that I have through Jesus Christ because of what he did for me on the cross. I was a lost sinner. I was headed for hell, and Jesus Christ saved me when I found him. That's our testimony. And we live it out just like we talked about last week. And we're never to look down on others because we think that we're better than them. Well, all those other people, they might be doing it, but I'm not doing that. Or I know this guy fell into sin, but I would never fall into that. Church, this is dangerous. And I believe it's a dangerous, dangerous sin to have that mindset. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 18 says this. Pride goes before destruction, and haughtiness before a fall. Isaiah 5:21 says this. What sorrow. All right, that's a big word. What sorrow for those who are wise in their own eyes and think themselves so clever. So as we close, I want to make sure that we go back to those 2 points this morning. I want to make sure that we go back to those 2 points and we really leave here that if we don't remember anything else from this message, if we don't remember anything else from the text today, remember this. Number one is this. Everybody will stumble and fall away from time to time. So if you're here today and you think, I'm not going to fall away. I've been a church member for years. I've been a Christian for years. I'm teaching a Bible study at my house, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, or I'm going on a missions trip pretty soon, or I'm a pastor of a church, or I lead the choir, or I sing in the worship band, or I play the drums in the worship band. Watching you, drummer. Just kidding. Listen. We will fall. We're going to mess up. We are going to fall away from Jesus. But I also want, if somebody's here today and you've already fallen away, and you say, well, man, I know I need to go back to Jesus, but he'll never accept me for what he's done. Remember, look around. Everybody look around for just a minute. I know it's kind of awkward, but look around at everybody. Everybody here has sinned. Everybody here has fallen away at one point or another. So there's no judgment among people that find themselves even at the foot of the cross. So everyone will stumble and fall. So take that away from time to time. The devil's going to tell you this. He's going to say, oh, you're the only one that's ever done that. Shame on you. I wouldn't even go back to church. You're not worthy enough to serve. You can't do this, can't do that. Jesus doesn't say that. He said everybody's going to stumble and fall away from time to time. So remember that. Number two, we have to be careful not to be overconfident in ourselves. Church, Christ knew that his disciples would stumble. He knew that they would fall. He knew that they would be extremely discouraged. And note what he did. You can look, it's right there in the text that we read. He didn't scold them. He didn't condemn them. Instead, he planned to go ahead of them and meet them, forgiving and receiving them. Think about that. All in the power and the love of his resurrection. Romans chapter 7, if you have that, flip there in your Bibles. We may have it on the screen as well. Romans chapter 7, and we'll read a few verses here, and then we're going to pray and we're going to end. But Romans chapter 7, verse 21, if you want to find that, and I'm going to read down to verse 25. It says this. This is the Apostle Paul, remind you, the guy that the Lord used to write like two-thirds of the New Testament. All right, so here's the guy that you want to talk about looking up to, a Christian, a guy that planted churches and did missionary journeys and all the things that he did, who was killed for Christ. He writes these words. I have discovered this principle of life, that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I've been there before. I love God's law with all my heart. But there's another power within me that is at war with my mind. This power makes me a slave to sin, that is the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Thank God, the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. So you see how it is. In my mind, I really want to obey God's law, but because of my sinful nature, I am a slave to sin. Now, church, what he didn't say is go out and sin all you want because I'll accept you back. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about the fact that we are going to fall short no matter how much we strive not to, no matter how much we love God's word, no matter how much we love God, no matter how much we're serving, we're going to fall short. But I believe this text is great. I would encourage you to go home and read Romans chapter 7. I love it because it reminds me that I don't have to be perfect. The Apostle Paul wasn't perfect. His disciples weren't perfect, but they kept pressing on. Oh, Christian who has fallen away today, do you know Jesus is waiting, let's just say in Galilee, He's already gone before you. He's already gone before you today. Nothing you have done, no feeling that you have right now surprises Him, because He predicted it would happen. When he created you in your mother's womb, He knew that this day would come, that you would fall away from Him for a while, and He's waiting for you to come back. He's already gone before you. He's there waiting. He's there waiting. All you have to do is repent of your sin, and you turn to God. You repent. All right, I'm walking after this. I'm looking at this. I'm saying these words. All I do is I say, I'm not going to do it. And I'm going to look at Jesus and I'm going to walk to Him. It's that simple. That's all He wants from you. Will preached a message a couple weeks ago and he talked about country music. I was listening to country music this morning. Amen. And that song, I don't remember the actual lyrics of it. It goes, you know, I don't want anything else but your love. He says, the father or the son goes to his mother and the husband goes to his son. What can I give you for all that you've done for me? I won't take anything less than your love. You know that song? I'm not going to sing it for you. All right. And at the end, he says, the guy goes to the Lord and says, can I build you a temple? Can I do this for you? What can I do for what you've done for me? And he says, but I won't take anything less than your love. That's all God wants. He wants you to love Him more than you love yourself, your sin, your pride, whatever it is, just to turn from it and turn to Him. Amen?
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love You this morning, and we thank you for Your Word, and we thank You for Your power. We thank You for Your Holy Spirit. Lord, I thank You for the hearts that are convicted here today. It's not a comfortable place to be. But Lord, we know that You do that for our good. It's not a condemning message. It's not a condemning conviction that somebody has on their heart today. It's You from Galilee shouting, would You come back? I'm already here. I already gave my life for You. I've already been risen from the grave. I'm standing here waiting for You to come back to me, Christian. And so, Lord, I pray today that if somebody is here today and maybe they've never accepted You before. Maybe they've never experienced the forgiveness through Jesus Christ. Maybe they've never been able to say, what a miserable person I am, but thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ. Maybe they're here today and they're just miserable. God, I pray that they would not be overconfident in themselves. Lord, that they wouldn't stumble over the cross. They wouldn't stumble over Your identity, wonder who You are. That they would just like You said, like a child, that they would just believe. They would simply believe, and they would say, it doesn't make all the sense to me. I don't understand all of it yet, but I know God is calling me. I feel it in my heart. And so, God, I pray today that we would allow You to work in our life. Or maybe it's a Christian. Maybe somebody who's been serving You for a long time, but they've fallen away for a while. That they would hear that voice. I'm in Galilee. I'm here. I'm here, Anthony. Would you just come back to me? Would you just come back? I've got plans for you. Quit living in misery. Lord, I just pray today that even if it's not made known public this morning, even if there's no public testimony, I pray that those repentant hearts would find You today, and that we would turn away from our sin, that I would return to You from any sin that's infecting my life. Lord, we love You this morning, and we thank You for Your grace, and we thank You for Your mercy, and we believe that You have all authority this morning to help us to be overcomers. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
As the choir sings, if there's something I can pray with you about, or if you want to come share something that God is doing in your heart, that's what this time is for. Maybe you want to come and join the church and be a part of this church family and an official member of this church. That's what this time of invitation is for. So I would encourage you to come as the choir sings. Amen?
Amen.
Let's stand and sing.
Hello, my name is Anthony Clore, and I'm honored to be the pastor here at Fork Union Baptist Church. I hope you were blessed by the message today, and I want to encourage you with this. God is always willing and always waiting, and always wants to do great things in our lives when we simply read the Bible and hear biblical preaching and teaching. But we must allow what we hear to be applied to our lives. So if you feel God tugging at your heart or speaking to you today, I want to encourage you to stop whatever you're doing right now and respond to Him personally. And if you would like to let us know what God is doing in your life through this podcast ministry, we would be so blessed if you would reach out to us by email at churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. Again, that's churchoffice@forkunionbaptist.org. You can also try us at our office at 434-842-3390. Again, thank you for listening, and we hope that someday you will join us in person. We meet each Sunday at 11 a.m. Take care and God bless.